she retrieved her coat from him and hung it up. While he'd been holding it, he had seemed entirely taken up with this task and oblivious to anything else. Without it, he seemed a little lost and naked, and was forced to stir himself back into life. He turned his big, heavy eyes back on Richard. "Richard," he said, "I read your piece in Fathom on music and..." "Fractal landscape," said Richard shortly. He didn't want to talk to Michael, and he certainly didn't want to get drawn into a conversation about Michael's wretched magazine, or rather, the magazine that used to be Michael's. That was the precise aspect of the conversation that Richard didn't want to get drawn into. Yes, very interesting, of course," said Michael in his silky, over-rounded voice. "Mountain shapes and tree shapes and all sorts of things. Recycled algae. Recursive algorithms. Yes, of course, very interesting, but so wrong, so terribly wrong. For the magazine, I mean. It is, after all, an arts review. I would never have allowed such a thing, of course. Ross has utterly ruined it. Utterly. He'll have to go. Have to. He has no sensibilities and is a thief." "He's not a thief, Wednesday. That's absolutely absurd," snapped Richard, instantly getting drawn into it in spite of his resolution not to. "He had nothing to do with your getting the push whatsoever. That was your own silly fault, and you..." There was a sharp intake of breath. "Richard," said Michael in his softest, quietest voice. Arguing with him was like getting tangled in parachute silk. "I think you do not understand how important..." "Michael," said Susan, gently but firmly, holding open the door. Michael Wenton Weeks nodded faintly and seemed to deflate. "Your book," Susan added, holding out to him a small and elderly volume on the ecclesiastical architecture of Kent. He took it, murmured some slight thanks, looked about him for a moment as if he'd suddenly realised something rather odd, then gathered himself together, nodded farewell, and left. Richard didn't appreciate quite how tense he had become till Michael left and he was suddenly able to relax. He'd always resented the indulgent soft spot that Susan had for Michael, even if she did try to disguise it by being terribly rude to him all the time, perhaps even because of that. "Susan, what can I say?" he started lamely. "You could say ouch for a start. You didn't even give me that satisfaction when I hit you, and I thought I did it rather hard. God, it's freezing in here. What's that window doing wide open?" She went over to shut it. "I told you, that's how I got in," said Richard. He sounded sufficiently as if he meant it to make her look around at him in surprise. "Really," he said, "like in the chocolate ads, only I forgot the box of chocolates." He shrugged sheepishly. She stared at him in amazement. "What on earth possessed you to do that?" she said. She stuck her head out of the window and looked down. "You could have got killed," she said, turning back to him. Well, yes, he said. "It just seemed the only way to, I don't know." He ran at himself. "You took your key back, remember?" "Yes, I got fed up with you coming and raiding my larder when you couldn't be bothered to do your own shopping. Richard, you really climbed up this wall?" "Well, I wanted to be here when you got in." She shook her head in bewilderment. "It would have been a great deal better if you'd been here when I went out. Is that why you're wearing those filthy old clothes?" "Yes. You don't think I went to dinner at St. Sed's like this?" "Well, I no longer know what you consider to be rational behaviour." She sighed and fished about in a small drawer. "Here," she said, "if it's going to save your life," and handed him a couple of keys on a ring. "I'm too tired to be angry anymore. An evening of being lobbied by Michael has taken it out of me.